It ain't the left side or the right side, then it must be the fin side.
Thank you, Solo D. Welcome to another episode of On the Fin Side here with Kat and Paul. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, iTunes, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. I'm Brian Kat, NFL. Paul is Fanatic underscore pick on Twitter. The Dolphins go up against the Denver Broncos this Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern time in Denver. Dolphins are favored right now by 3 points at home. We are joined by Ian St. Clair from the Mile High Report, and you can also check out his website, Play Colorado, and you can follow his Twitter handle, Colorado underscore play. Ian, thanks for joining us here.
Definitely appreciate you taking the time to talk about this game on Sunday.
You bet. So looking at, before we get into the game, tell us a little bit more about Play Colorado.
Well, since sports betting is now legal in Colorado, it officially launched in the state on May 1st, which was interesting because that was in the midst of, I guess, the first wave of COVID-19, so there weren't any sports. But PlayColorado.com covers online and retail sports betting, casinos, what's going on with the gaming industry in Colorado with Blackhawk, Central City, and Cripple Creek, which are the three gaming towns here in Colorado, the lottery. So basically anything that has to do with gaming in Colorado is what the website and what I focus on.
Outstanding. So looking at the game here, the Broncos are 3-point underdogs at home. You know, last week they lose 30-6 to the Raiders. We've got a situation where Drew Lock or Brett Rippon may start this game. Looking at the Broncos in general here, Ian, I mean, I like what the Broncos did the offseason. You know, they won four of their last five games to end the 2019 season. They signed Melvin Gordon, A.J. Boye, Jarrell Casey in the offseason. But it seems like they've had a lot of injury problems with Jarrell Casey going down, Cortland Sutton, and Juwan James opting out before the year. So it seems like things have not quite gone to plan here with the Broncos this year.
I think that's putting it mildly. I think you mentioned the injuries. The other big injury was Von Miller. It's one of those seasons where it feels like 2020. I mean, it feels like everything else, it's in upheaval and you don't really know what's going on. And that's currently the state of the Denver Broncos. As you mentioned, with winning four of the last five games and the additions they made, and adding guys like Jerry Jeudy and then KJ Hamler in the draft, adding Michael Ojemudia and Lloyd Cushenberry in the third round. So there was a lot of hope in Broncos country for this team going into the season. And then it got dumped cold water on it when the word of Von Miller's injury and then Cortland Sutton's injury in week two against the Steelers. It's one of those seasons where it feels like the Broncos finally had some hope, that they were finally on the path to get back to relevancy and competing. And then as this season has progressed, they've gotten progressively worse. Drew Lock has regressed from where even the beginning of the season, not even forgetting the four or five games that he won last year. It's a confusing situation where there are currently more questions than answers for this team, especially going into this game against the Dolphins on Sunday.
So we're recording this at Wednesday at noon here, Ian. Do you have a preference right now of whether or not an injured Drew Lock plays on Sunday or a healthy Brett Rippon?
I think they have to ride with Drew Lock. Yes, you want your quarterback to be healthy, but I you have to go with Drew Lock the last seven games of this season, and especially going against a defensive mind like Brian Flores and this defense for the Miami Dolphins, which is able to create turnovers. It's able to get after the quarterback the way that it can. I want to see Drew Lock go against this defense. Now, obviously, if he's not able to go, then you have to go with Brett Rypien. I would prefer it to be Drew Lock if he's able to go, because I don't think Brett Rypien is the guy. And the Broncos really do need to know what they have one way or another with Drew Lock. He has 7 games left to go. A lot of people are off the Drew train, as it's called here in Denver and in Broncos country. But the organization needs to know what it has in Drew Lock. And if he is able to go on Sunday, he needs to be the guy who is that quarterback to go against this Dolphins defense.
It really sounds like a lot of Dolphins fans when they were talking about Ryan Tannehill, for several years. We just have to know what we have with Ryan Tannehill. And just like you have to know what you have here with Drew Lock moving forward, because he does have the arm. He does have, and there are those weapons around him. I mean, they spent a lot of money with Melvin Gordon. They spent 15th overall pick on Jerry Jeudy, 2nd round pick with KJ Hamler, invested the 1st round pick with Noah Fant the year before. Speaking of which, Noah Fant is questionable at the time we're recording the show too. Have you heard anything one way or another if he's playing or not?
I haven't heard one way or another. I think what will be key is whether or not he's able to get on the field and practice in terms of Thursday's practice. I don't know about Friday necessarily, because it's more of a walkthrough anyway. So I think it's going to be very interesting. I think he has an ankle sprain, and those can linger around. They don't go away. They're like hamstring injuries. So if he's able to go, I don't know how effective he'll be, but it's obvious that you'd rather have him on the field just because of the matchup problem that he can pose. And Drew Lock, if he's able to go, or even if it's Brett Rypien, it gives them another viable option to throw to, because they know that they can rely on him. So hopefully Noah Fant's able to go, but now that Albert Aku-Ebunam is out and on IR, they're really limited at tight end now too. So even a hobbled Noah Fant would probably be better than the alternative that the Broncos currently have.
Absolutely. On the offensive line, you know, like we said, Juwan James opted out before the year at the right tackle spot. Lloyd Cushenberry, drafted in the 3rd round at center, has played a lot of football this year. Dalton Risner at left guard, and Garrett Bowles. I mean, I don't know how much you look into PFF, but it looks like he's had the best year of his career. Is it fair to say that from the center position to the left tackle position, that the Broncos may have it figured out?
I think they do. Cushenberry has definitely had his moments where he struggled, and I think that's to be expected when you're a rookie. The center position, it takes time to learn, and especially going against defenses, I think like the Broncos have gone against, it's been an up and down season for Lloyd Cushenberry. I think what the Broncos can rely on to know that they can trust him going forward is how smart he is. And how football knowledgeable he is. So while he's struggled, I think they do have the center position figured out. Dalton Risner has had a sophomore slump. He's definitely not been as good as his rookie season. And Garrett Bowles has no doubt had the best season of his career. I don't really trust PFF, but just my eye test alone, he hasn't had the issues that he had the first 3 or 4 years of his NFL career. And he's been the most consistent player on this Broncos offense. And some could argue that he's been the best player on this Broncos offense. So what will be interesting is if John Elway and the front office decide to throw some money at Garrett Bowles, and if Garrett Bowles takes it, because he's been one of those players where the fans have had it's kind of been a compatible relationship, especially whenever he got called for a holding penalty, he was booed. The way he was beat, it'll be interesting to see how Garrett Bowles responds and if he just decides to move on after the season, because he'll be a free agent. So that's going to be a huge issue, because the Broncos tackle position, you mentioned Juwan James, DeMar Dotson has been hurt. So they've been down to their 3rd and 4th string right tackle at times. So It's going to be a very interesting situation, but I think at least at guard, left guard and center, they have it figured out.
On the defensive side of the ball, in the secondary, they've signed a couple of players over the last few years. AJ Boye, a cornerback, also Bryce Callahan, to pair with Justin Simmons at the free safety position. Very good inside linebackers, too, at least from what I've seen. Alexander Johnson seems to be one of the more bigger kept secrets in the NFL, and Josie Jewell as well. On the defensive side of the ball, how do you break down that unit? Kind of what are the strengths and what are the weaknesses?
It's so hard to judge this defense because the Broncos offense has been so bad. I mean, when you look at that Raiders game, if you look at the final score, you would think that it was a blowout. But the defense really kept the Broncos in the game. They were strong in the red zone. They kept Derek Carr and the Raiders out of the end zone until midway through the third quarter. Had the offense been able to do anything and not turn it, I mean, aside from turning it over, which Drew Locke, he's just giving the ball away like it's candy. The defense, I think, has been the strength of this team, and it's so hard to judge it because of how bad the offense has been. I think when you look at the defense, they've been ravaged by injuries, especially across the defensive line. Shelby Harris has been out because of COVID-19, testing positive for it. The secondary, I think, you mentioned Bryce Callahan. Bryce Callahan, I think, he was out last year because of an injury. He's been one of the better and more consistent players, and we finally get an indication of how good he can be in Vic Fangio's defense, which is what he showed in Chicago when the two of them were together with the Bears. So the defense has been what you would expect with a Vic Fangio coach defense. It's kept the team in games. It can get after the quarterback. I think that's one issue that we saw on Sunday is Bradley Chubb and Malik Reed had trouble getting after the quarterback, getting after Derek Carr. But for the most part, with the injuries, when you consider where they are in the defensive line, the defense has been what has allowed this team to be in games. And it's just, like I said, it's really hard to get a good gauge on this defense because of how bad the offense has been and how it's not getting any help.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. When you look at the final score, it was 30-6 Raiders last week, but at the end of the third quarter, it was a 13-6 game. So, it's not necessarily the fault of the defense. In fact, not the fault by far. I mean, Derek Carr was 16 for 25 for 154 yards, no touchdowns. I mean, can't necessarily blame the defense, especially the secondary. And I think in this game, against the Dolphins with Devontae Parker and against Mike Gesicki, you know, it's going to probably be a pretty good matchup with the Broncos secondary.
I'm looking forward to seeing what Tua Tagovailoa does against a defensive mind like Vic Fangio, because one thing I always come back to is from Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan, they think that it's the toughest to go against him. So now you get a rookie quarterback in Tua. I'm curious to see how this matchup goes. I don't think, because that's probably going to be the only thing that's worth watching in this game, because I don't think the Broncos offense is going to be able to do anything against this Dolphins defense. And the way that the Dolphins defense is able to create and get turnovers, whether it's Drew Locke or Brett Rypien, I think they're going to have a heyday when it comes to getting turnovers. So that's the one aspect of this game, the Dolphins offense and the Broncos defense, that I think is going to be a very interesting matchup. And as I said, probably the only one worth watching from this game.
Yeah, certainly. And from my point of view, and you could tell me if you disagree or not, is I think the two most important things to the Broncos are, number one, to get Drew Locke on the field, whether he's healthy or not, because you have to see what you have. Number two, to have a fighting chance in this game. The way I look at it, this has to become a Melvin Gordon and Philip Lindsay versus the Dolphins run defense game. The Dolphins run defense is not as good as the pass defense. And on the other side of the ball, I mean, the Dolphins may get Matt Breida back at running back for this game. That may not make a big difference. But if it turns into a game where, you know, it's the Broncos running backs against the Dolphins running backs, and that turns into a 20-17 game, then the Broncos I'm still going to predict the Dolphins to win, but I think that's the Broncos' pathway to win. Best pathway to win this one.
I totally agree. When you look at the Raiders game, the one thing that stands out is Philip Lindsay only had 4 carries. That to me can't happen again. I'm not bragging on Melvin Gordon, because I think he's shown that he's a great running back, and when he gets the ability to, if the offensive line does its job, he can find the hole, he can catch it. He's a relatively good pass blocker, which is better than Philip Lindsay, which is why I think Gordon was on the field more, because Philip Lindsay doesn't do a very good job of catching the ball out of the backfield or in pass protection. But Philip Lindsay is the heart and soul of this offense. If he's able to get the ball, you just look at the Chargers game. There was a moment where his 55-yard touchdown run sparked that comeback, where the Broncos were able to come back in the fourth quarter and beat the Chargers. They need Philip Lindsay on the field, and the only way to do that is to run the football. But at the same point, teams are loading the box. They're daring the Broncos to pass the ball, and Drew Lock has shown that he's incapable of doing it. So he's going to have to show, if he plays on Sunday, if it's Brett Rypien, he's going to have to be better than he was against the Jets. And a lot of Broncos fans will say, yes, but Brett Rypien and the Broncos beat the Jets. It was still the Jets. The Jets are horrible. So the best way to get the running game going is to be able to show that you're able to competently throw the ball. And that, to me, is going to be the key, because the Dolphins, if I'm Brian Flores, I'll just put 9 or 10 guys in the box and just be like, all right, I dare you to throw it, because even with a couple of guys back in the secondary, we'll still be able to stop you because you haven't proven that you can throw the football. That might be hyperbole, but that, to me, is going to be the key to this game, is if the Broncos are able to at least competently throw the ball on offense.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right on that. And that should be the Dolphins' game plan here. I mean, being able to stock up on mainly Jerry Jeudy, but also Tim Patrick has done a good job on the outside too, 444 receiving yards on the year. And that's what's got to be the frustrating thing as a Broncos fan, because, you know, Broncos are averaging among their two top running backs over 4.5 yards a carry this year, with Philip Lindsay just 4 carries for 2 yards last game, but on the season 5.5 yards a carry. But my main question to you too, Ian, is when you look at the Broncos team in general, they have the 11th overall pick as you head into week 11 here with the Dolphins. There are possibly 3 or 4 quarterbacks projected to go in the top 10 right now in the 2021 NFL draft. Are you rooting for Drew Lock right now to be that quarterback, or do you feel like you've seen enough?
I'm still on the fence, but based on my eye test the last three weeks, I don't think he has it, but who knows? There's 7 games left to go. And if he continues to play like this, then they will definitely be on the look for a new quarterback. And I think that the thing that, especially in Broncos country, and that John Elway needs to remember, if he is still the guy, and I don't have any reason to think he won't, but there are a lot of people calling for him to be fired. The one thing to keep an eye on is if John Elway really finds a quarterback that he wants, trade up and get him. Do whatever it takes to get the quarterback you want, because that's basically the only way it's going to happen. And you mentioned 4 or 5 quarterbacks going in the first round. I don't know if they're going to be in the area to get the upper echelon guys, especially ones like Trevor Lawrence and Fields from Ohio State. So they're going to have to move up. They're going to have to find a way to get him if Drew Lock continues to play the way that he has. But for now, as I've said on my podcast on MHR, the MHR Radio podcast with Adam Malnati, they have to find out what they have over the course of the next seven games, and then they'll know which way they have to go in the offseason.
I could not agree more. We are joined by Ian St. Clair here with the Mile High Report, as well as Play Colorado. Be sure to join him there on his social media outlets as well. He's got a lot of great content. And before we let you go, Ian, what is your score prediction for this game?
I think it's going to be close. It's going to really mimic the Raiders game. I think the Broncos defense is going to do a good enough job to keep them in the game. I just don't think that the offense is going to have enough to get them over the hump to make it a game. So I think in the fourth quarter, the Dolphins are going to pull away, and I think it's going to be somewhere around the lines of 27-16, maybe even 31-16, just because I think the defense is just not going to be able to do enough, and the offense is not going to be able to help them out, as has been the case the last couple of weeks.
And there you have it. That is our breakdown of the Dolphins-Broncos game heading into this Sunday, joined by Ian St. Clair from the Mile High Report, as well as Play Colorado. Be sure to join him on his social media outlets, like we said before. And you can follow Paul and I on Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, iTunes, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. I'm Brian Catt, NFL, and Paul is Fanatic _ Pick. And if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the fin side. So, Ladie, take us home.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fin side.